Hey, Keith.
Hey.
How's it going, man?
Good, how's it going?
Good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yeah. I have a funny little setup here where I
Okay.
have my usual microphone for the podcast, but then I have this rig here with the different vocal mic just propped right up against the speaker.
Okay.
And hopefully you can hear me clear enough. I'm having to yell kind of through that microphone, but I hope you're hearing me okay.
Yeah, I can hear you okay. I'm on a headset. Am I coming through okay?
Perfectly, yeah.
Okay, good.
Great, man. Well, how are you, sir?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. I got like, let's see, it's 5:15-ish now. I probably have about a half an hour to 45 minutes before my rowdy Irish band comes marching down the stairs.
Okay.
But I think we can get everything we need between now and then. Easy.
Okay, cool. Yeah. It's amazing to be talking to you in person.
Isn't that funny? It's hey, actually, it's kind of cool because you're the first. You might very well be the first online interview, I think.
Okay,
I mean, we've
cool,
had guests in our
cool.
studios,
Sure.
but it's cool to see how this
I've
thing.
talked to you before, but this way you can actually hear me. Before I was just talking to the radio in the car, so.
That's so funny.
It
Can't imagine what you said.
was all good. It was all good.
Great, man. Well, let's see here. Before we get into it, I guess I need to take care of a couple of bookkeeping things, or I guess housekeeping, whatever you call it.
Okay.
So, though I may or may not use any of this actual recording, what we're doing right
Right.
now, we have every intention of, putting you in the best light. But I would like to go ahead and get your, so to speak, audio release for your permission to use your voice and your words in this song for our episode.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, great. And I think what the plan is, and maybe I'll just ask you a couple of questions about it, and then about the actual song itself, and then about the chords, because I think I got it all
Okay.
mapped out, but I have a couple of questions actually. So this is gonna be
Okay.
cool, man. Now, if you want to, we'll just come in like you just called, okay?
All right.
It'll be just like you, we just kind of picked up the phone, and this is if we do bring it in like this is how what people are going to hear. You ready?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
All right. Keith Andrews, singer-songwriter. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hello there. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, for taking the time to talk with us.
Sure.
We decided to use your song Dewey and Dora for this episode because it has so many elements of what I think, for one thing, a good song is, a good songwriting. As far as lyrics are concerned, and the chord progressions you used, and the feel, and just there's a lot of things about it that I really think, A, I enjoy, and B, people won't mind listening to over and over and over again as we do this episode.
Okay, well, cool. Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about the song? What was your inspiration for it?
Well, the name Dewey and Dora actually is a couple year, many, many years ago. I actually knew a couple named Dewey and Dora,
All right.
and the song bears no relation to them. But I had always just kind of carried their names around, thinking, I can do something with that someday, the way that they sound together and everything. And then I had heard Paul Simon explaining how he wrote his song Renee and Georgette and Magritte, that the story in the song really has nothing to do with Renee and Georgette and Magritte. He just took their names and then created a story out of whole cloth. And so I had always thought about writing this Dewey and Dora song, but I didn't really know where to start or where to go with it. But then when I heard him saying that, well, I thought I'll just launch off and go wherever the story takes me. So I just kind of came to me of them crossing paths in a train station, and then it just kind of the story just told itself from there. So
So, not unlike them, you began at the train station.
yes, exactly.
You didn't like map it out. You didn't like say, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there, I'm going to end here. You didn't Google that.
No, I it kind of just developed, and then like where it jumped to the end, I knew at the end I got this image of Dora being alone and looking back on their meeting in Spain, and then I started wondering, well, what's happened to Dewey? And so I started getting the feeling that it might be kind of sad. And then I started thinking, well, it doesn't have to be sad. Dewey can just have his own thing. You know, his path veered off or something like that. But the thing of the meeting and them being together for some time and then not being together and jumping to the future, that part just kind of fell into place. And then I just kind of filled in from this image that I got of Dora looking back on it. And the parts of it that, you know, the line in the chorus about alabaster chandeliers and all that, that to me is like her flash image of that first meeting. Hmm. That's kind of the impression she has in her head looking back on it.
Okay.
So that's kind of where it came from. But
well, you know, you immediately had me sold when I saw the title, because there's something about the whole kind of duet story. You know, Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, right.
Reuben and Charisse.
Yeah.
Honcho and Lefty.
Right.
So that's a cool thing. That's a very cool thing. I also, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
This is off the record. This is going to be a silly question, so I hope you respond. Respond is what I hope it is.
Okay.
here's my question, okay? So, Keith, tell me, how does this song end?
It ends with Dora is looking back,
uh-huh.
And Dewey, we find out at the end, as ended his pilgrimage when he was in the town of Ibiza and ran into David.
Uh-huh.
And that's where Dewey discovered his future, uh-huh. And found what he was looking for. And you know, in the chorus, he's looking for equanimity, and Dora's looking for a way to be, and it kind of crosses over, because you kind of think, or the way I was thinking of it is it kind of seems like Dewey's looking for a way to be, but he was actually looking for equanimity, you know, balance within himself. And yeah, I think he finds that when he finds his true nature, when he realizes his true nature. So
so David could be a metaphor. David might not even be a person.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Or David could be a potential lover, or just a friend who he finds, who Dewey finds equanimity with.
Well, that's true. That's true.
I interpreted a lot of different things. My mind, I got a pretty active mind, so.
Well, that's, sometimes I kind of stray away from explaining exactly what something meant to me, because like there was one song that I wrote, called Halfway Up is a Long Way Down, and someone asked me what I was thinking, and I told them, and I wish that I hadn't, because they had a very specific thing in mind that was very different than what I had been, where I had been going when I wrote it. So I kind of wished I had not answered their question. But
and that, my friend, is the answer I was looking for.
Okay.
Because you really didn't. I'm sitting here asking all these different questions, and you kind of gave a little bit of an answer, but you weren't very specific about some things. And I think that's the part of true songwriting, which really kind of captivates people and makes them, wow, I wonder, you know, even after the song is done, what's going on? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And to me, if you leave it a little vague, that lets them come into it. That lets them sort of inhabit it. Mm-hmm. You know, with their own perspective and everything. So, yeah, I think that's great. Some songwriter I heard recently say that to be specific, you need to be vague. and I think that's what they meant. For people to get their specific thing out of it, you need to be vague enough to leave them room to move around in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see here. So that's kind of the song in a nutshell, right? Oh, by the way, great imagery, too. I like the alabaster chandeliers, bodega lights. I mean, just it's really well thought out, I think.
Thank you. Thank you. It came over a period of a few weeks, and it just kind of slowly pieced its way together and sort of started coming into focus. So I was really kind of pleased with the way this one came together.
You know, in past shows, Matt and I talked about kind of the Taoist kind of perspective, how you kind of follow the Tao, you fall into, you start doing something, and then you can't tell the dancer from the dance and all that stuff.
Yes, right.
The song seems to be writing itself in your case because you've surrendered to it.
Yeah, and that's the thing I always tell myself, is the song is the thing, because I think sometimes writers can get caught up in the process of writing, and they're thinking what they're doing, this is my art, this is me creating or whatever, and they get in the way of a song, you know, and the song is the thing. And so I try to remind myself of that if I ever wind up getting in my own way or getting in the way of a song.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very smart. Now, let me see here. Real quick, before we, I think I'm in a second, I'm going to ask some questions about some chords. But before
okay.
that, I will say, I do want to say that I did listen to, I checked out your Reverb Nation page. And
okay, cool.
Just because we're using this song for this particular episode does not mean we can't get you on another episode, our singer-songwriters episode.
You know okay, what
I
mean?
Because
okay.
I think a lot of these sound just fantastic. You know, in a similar vein, you know, again, great songwriting, great images and stuff. Ladybug, I really think
the
cool thing about that is that walk down kind of thing that you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I like that one too. That one came really quickly.
Yeah, I think that would be a good technique. I mean, a good thing to show people. They could immediately recognize that thing we were talking about. We recently talked about the whole bass inversions and stuff like that. But anyway, not to get too deep into theory.
Sure.
And also,
and I've got some. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm working on some newer stuff. I'm working on some good stuff now that I'll have recorded soon, so I can send that along to you too. So.
Oh yeah, cool. And also, a satellite piqued my interest as well. That's I like the harmonies in that. Was that both you?
Yeah, thank you. That's all me. Yeah, that's just me with on Ableton Live in my little home studio.
Well, you seem to have a really good grasp of how, you know, parallel motion within harmonies works.
You cut out. I'm sorry.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me? Oh, shit. Hold on one sec.
Are you there? Something's gone screwy here.
Check. Okay, hold on one second. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Oh, you know, technology.
Yeah.
Technology.
I think one of those stupid scam likely calls was coming through on my phone, and it knocked us out of whack for some reason.
Oh, and sometimes my Bluetooth devices hijack my phone, so that could have happened as well.
Okay.
But I got you here now, huh? You can hear me?
Yeah, we're good now.
I was talking about how, like, I really like your sense of harmony and how your harmonies, you know, work together. So I think, you know, this is not for the show. I'm just saying kind of on the
sure,
side
sure.
that would be a cool thing.
Yeah, cool. Thanks.
Okay, now I'm experiencing some of that weird kind of static. Let me try and readjust my phone here. Okay.
I wasn't getting anything on this end. It's coming clear.
Okay, cool. All right, now let's go ahead and talk about the chords here, because I think I got it figured out. But do you have the chords in your head? Kind of. I mean, I imagine
sure,
so.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So I have my guitar. So the first line: Dewey and Dora met in Spain.
Dewey. Yes.
Dora met in Spain. I'm seeing a G. We are in the key of G.
Yeah, I'm in G.
Okay, no capo.
Okay. No capo.
That's great. Okay, so I'm getting a G. A B7.
B7, yep, that's right.
As opposed to the diatonic B minor, and I dig that.
Exactly.
And yep. Then C and back to G.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Exactly.
Dewey and Dora met in Spain. G, B7, C, G. And then next line,
yes.
Dewey was waiting on an outbound train. I got... C. Did you lose weight and not an A minor D? C. A minor D.
Well, actually, what I'm doing there is C and then C with the G in the bass.
Uh-huh.
And then G to D.
Okay, so it just stays on C. I know I heard that G. I knew I heard that G in there.
Yeah. Okay, so C and then C with the G in the bass.
So instead of
A minor.
And
then just a straight, right.
Seven.
And then just a straight G and then to D.
G in the bass. And then straight back to C. Oh, straight. I'll say it again. I'm sorry.
Then a straight G, and then D.
Okay. Perfect. All right, and then the second line. I'm sorry, third line. Let's see. I got my pick in my mouth.
Yeah.
Sorry. So, when Dora stepped in from the rain. Oh, that's the same as the first line.
Same as the first line. Yeah.
Okay. And then smooth like a river stone. Simply C, D, G.
Exactly. Yep.
No sevenths. No funny stuff.
No funny stuff. Just straight C, D, G.
Okay. Cool. Now, Dora was looking for a way to be. I got, Dora was looking for a way to be. So that's a C and a G.
C and a G.
And then our old friend, is this B minor, B7 come back?
It's B7 again.
To E minor?
And then to E minor.
Equanimity is E minor. Okay. Now,
yes.
Here's another treble chord. It might be the same kind of thing you were talking about. This next chord is that I have A minor 7.
I was actually doing C minor there.
Ooh. Reaching where they could not see. Okay.
Yeah, C minor to A.
Okay, cool.
So I'm out of, yeah.
I knew it was something different than that A minor 7 I was hearing. I knew there was something weird. Reaching where they could not see. C minor. To A. Okay, so what I thought was an E minor is actually an A.
Yeah.
Reaching where they couldn't see. That's an A major, huh?
Yeah, A major. Yeah.
All right. You got me. You flummoxed me, man. You got me.
That one's kind of weird, yeah. That's then, one of the textures that came over time. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's cool. I was just going to move on. And then again, smooth like a river stone. Same thing every time, right?
CDG, yeah.
Okay, now Alabaster Chandeliers. Similar thing going on here. Alabaster, that's A minor.
A minor, yep.
Back to B7.
Chandeliers. B7, yep.
And then Bodega. E minor.
E minor.
Lights. What is this? Is this an A minor 7?
That's a C7 with the voicing. I just slide the B7 up.
C7 with the B flat.
Well, yeah, I just slide up the with the B7 I just slide it up a fret, slide it up a half step.
I see. Very cool. Very
and
cool.
I kind of deaden. Yeah.
Okay, and then just to be sure, we got Alabaster A minor.
Yeah.
Chandeliers B7. E minor, Bodega, C7. Lights?
Yep.
The C7?
Yes.
If it takes so that's A minor again?
A minor, yep.
Same deal, B7, 100 years.
B7.
And then, somewhere, I'm going to hear this A minor 7, but might not be either. This could be the D.
What's this that? Is a C minor again.
That's that C minor. Okay, that's what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm hearing minorness. Tricky. And then that D is just a regular D.
Just a regular D, okay. Yeah.
Well, that's all the chords. That's the whole thing, huh?
That's it, right, yeah, that's it.
And what I think, you know, people do this all differently. Even though it sounds like there's kind of three parts going on, I'm going to say that Dewey and Dora met in Spain and so on is the verse. And then maybe Dora was looking for a way to be actually. It sounds kind of like a bridge into the chorus, but I might just call it the chorus. The whole thing, the chorus, to keep it simple.
Yeah, that and the Alabaster Chandeliers. Yeah, when I was looking at trying to shorten it. Sort of my mentor I was working with, he thought it, we might try to shorten it, and I suggested maybe we pull the alabaster chandeliers out and maybe only do it not on every chorus, but he said he felt that they're both two parts of the chorus, that they couldn't be separated. So just anyway, you just made me think of that when you were saying you're thinking of those both as the chorus.
Well, it's not only that, but it really kind of introduces a different mood into the song, you know? It still kind of follows, it follows the other part well, I think. Yeah. So that's a cool thing. I'm glad you did that.
Yeah.
I think that's all the questions I have at this point. Do you have any questions or comments or anything that you would like to share with everybody else? Questions for us? We could address it on the show, or we could do it right now.
No, I mean, just to say what I've said in emails to you before, just an appreciation, a thanks to you guys for what you do. I can tell you my experience. I was into songwriting when I was young, right? Mm-hmm. I just kind of dabbled in it, and I came back to it when I was older, and I wanted to get understanding in music theory, and I feel like music theory isn't really, it's not often taught very well. It's always made too mysterious and everything. And I think you guys do a really good job of making it accessible. I had basic understandings. You know, like I had a chart that said, okay, these are the diatonic chords within a given key. You know, I had like no understanding of like the circle of fifths, or like the fact that all those chords within that key are built out of the notes in that scale. You know, fundamental things like that were mysterious to me, and you guys have helped me a lot, and I'm sure a lot of other people really get an understanding of that. It's greatly appreciated what you guys do.
Well, thanks, man. And likewise, I myself had no concept, no notion of any of that stuff until I got into college studying it as a student. So we thought we'd share that with everyone else, and we're glad you dig it.
Well, you do a good job, I have to say.
Well, thanks again so much, man. I'm sure we'll talk again, and if I have any pickups to do, maybe I can try later on in the week. But I think this is a great little chat we had, and I sure do appreciate it, man.
Sure. Okay.
And thanks again for your help on Patreon. That really means the world to us.
Sure, no problem. All right. And give my regards to Matt, too, please.
I sure will. He'll love to hear that.
Okay.
All right, cheers, my man.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.